This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Karnison. This year, we've seen the central bank cut rates four times, taking the OPR from 3% to 1.75%, the lowest level since 2004. While Bank Negara has done this to help stimulate the economy, it's also punishing savers as fixed deposit rates have also fallen. Now, as savers look for different options to get better rates at this juncture in time, one of the options that has come up has been Stash Away Simple. And to learn more about this, I'm speaking with Wong Wai Ken, Country Manager of Stash Away. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Roshan. Good to be with you.
So, Ken, before we get into Stash Away Simple, we need to talk about what happened earlier this week. From my understanding, Stash Away faced a technical issue where some users saw repeated direct debits from their bank accounts. How did this happen and has it been solved?
So thanks, Roshan, for this question. I think it's important to address it, and I'm glad you asked. So it was a very serious incident which affected some of our customers. And upfront, I firstly want to apologize to all the affected customers for creating, you know, significant issues in their lives. You know, we don't take this lightly. It was a technical glitch. You know, it happened between our system and the direct debit vendor's system. So as a result, there were multiple incorrect deductions which occurred on clients' accounts. So once we realized the issue, you know, on Monday evening, we quickly worked towards firstly pausing the direct debit function and then quickly working towards returning and refunding clients' monies.
And have all the funds been returned?
Yes. So the very next day, you know, Tuesday, we worked very hard on returning clients' funds, which were incorrectly debited in the first place. Because the truth of the matter is that it was never lost, you know, but obviously it was out of their bank accounts. It left clients' bank accounts and into their Stashaway accounts. So returning it was done very efficiently, and it was able to be done quickly because of this case.
Right. And I guess, Ken, the question here amongst your clients and your customers is, how confident are you that this won't happen again?
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I value all the customers that we have, and you know, we don't take customers' trust for granted in all the things you do, in all the products that we launch. So we will work even harder to regain that trust, because we already were working very hard before and we want to work to regain that. We've put some technical safeguards in place so that this doesn't happen again, regardless of what vendor we use. There will also be a detailed technical note, which we will actually share with customers publicly very soon. So we believe that this is important, and we'll work towards this not ever happening again.
So Ken, now turning our attention to the initial point of this conversation, was I wanted to talk about this introduction of Stashaway Simple into the Malaysian market. Stashaway Simple is a cash management product that can earn a rate or projected rate of 2.4% per annum on cash. Now the question here, I guess, Ken, is, are you here to kill the fixed deposit?
Yeah, killing fixed deposit will be difficult, but that is certainly our aim. You know, we want to redefine how people manage their spare cash. We are here to help investors build long-term wealth. So when you think about fixed deposit, you think about a few main things, right? First, you think about the rates that are getting lower and lower. Prevailing rates are between 1.8 to 1.5 for 6 to 12 month lockups right now. And with Stashaway Simple, with the projected rate of 2.4, this is not only higher, but you don't have to lock your money up. So that brings me to my second point, right? If you break your FDs early, you actually don't earn any accrued interest, but with Stashaway Simple, you will earn that accrued return. So thirdly, we also think that there are usually conditions that come with FDs, you know, fresh funds, minimum deposits, you know, promo periods, those gimmicky things. You know, we just want something easy and simple to actually put your spare cash to work, whether that's a emergency fund, whether that's part of your retirement fund that you want to spend in the short term. So we want to do away with all these inconveniences that fixed deposits pose and give people a decent rate without having to lock their money up.
Now, from my understanding, the system is based on a ringgit-denominated money market fund. And what are the underlying assets here, Ken?
Yeah, that's so important to address because regardless of what you invest in, you need to know what's the underlying investment, what's the underlying asset class, so to speak. So the underlying asset class for Stashaway Simple is indeed a money market fund. And the money market fund to retail investors like you and me is like, you know, Malaysia's best kept secret, you know, because it's not really actively marketed to us normal retail investors, because normally it's marketed to corporates who have millions on their balance sheet and are waiting to be used for working capital. So the money market fund in Malaysia is actually not new. It's actually one of the biggest asset classes around in Malaysia. So it's around 20% of the total unit trust industry, or 150 billion. That's almost as much as bond funds, you know. So it's just not talked about as much because banks would much rather have the FDs be locked up. And if you think about what a money market fund is, it's basically a fund of many, many, many FDs, right? So when you are investing in a money market fund, you're actually not taking that much risk at all because it's all a fund of FDs. And, you know, these FDs are also placed with very, very creditworthy banks, you know, banks like RHB, Maybank Islamic, and Mbank, right? So these are all the highly creditworthy banks, and that is where the projected 2.4% return comes from.
All right, so let's talk about that 2.4% right now. That's a projected return. So it's not guaranteed, to be very clear about that. What is that projection based on, Ken?
Yeah, that's very important. It's a projected return because at the end of the day, it is a fund. It's an investment product, so it's not actually guaranteed. And we'll talk about PIDM insurance in a second. But because it's a fund of FDs, you know, it's very easy, it's very possible to get a good projection of those rates if you project for a 12-month period, as opposed to getting a projection on an equity fund or a bond fund, right? So it's very easy to project if it's a fund of FDs. The technical term is called weighted yield to maturity. So you see what FDs are in the fund and you do a weighted average of the return. So imagine you had a 12-month FD giving you 3% and another half of the FD is in FD earning 2%. Both are 12-month tenors. And then the average return is 2.5. So that is how we get the return. And of course, with a real money market fund, there are many, many FDs running and maturing at the same time. So you do get a blended rate, and this 2.4% is that blended rate. And you can take that money out anytime without foregoing the return.
Right. So Ken, this being a pool of FDs with varying maturities and rates on their own, I'm guessing that there will be a certain level of parallel to the underlying fixed deposit market. While we can expect there to be a lag to how the rates adjust to the OPR, it will be impacted by any OPR cut. So how long will it take your projected rate to adjust to any changes in the interest rate environment?
Yep. So that's correct. This product is sensitive to OPR rises and also cuts. So if, for example, the OPR is reduced, the projected returns actually reduce as well. So it will not happen immediately, unlike FDs which are prevailing in the market, and it will also not happen proportionally. That is because you in a fund, you have many FDs, some invested in higher rates, some invested at the current prevailing rates, which are lower. So it will not go down immediately and it will not go down in proportion. So, you know, I think this also applies on the upside as well. So if, for example, OPR rates rise in the future, our product will also raise the projected rate, but at least a bit of lag time.
Right. So there's a lag when the rates go down, but there's also a lag when the rates go back up. So Ken, for all intents and purposes, there is a certain parallel move between the OPR rate and the projected rate of Stashaway Simple. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Ken, we're going to talk about whether the capital is protected and insurance on those funds in just a little bit. You're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Connison. This morning, I'm speaking to Wong Wai Ken, country manager for Stashaway. Ken, we've been talking about Stashaway Simple right now. This is your new cash management product that you've got. And while the rates at this current juncture in time do look more attractive than what is in the FD situation, part of, or at least a big part of the allure when it comes to a fixed deposit is that my capital is protected. Is my cash protected from losses with StashAway Simple?
Yeah, so there's two parts there, and we need to be precise about this, right? So because FDs are a deposit product, they are PIDM protected. And PIDM is there to protect the financial system, but also the depositors, right? So PIDM insurance is kind of a way of preventing a run on the bank. Imagine the Great Depression when people had no confidence in the financial system. They just line up to take out money, and that doesn't bode well for the banks and the financial system. So the PIDM insurance is also there to prevent that situation. Because StashAway Simple is an investment product, you know, it is a fund at the end of the day. It's not PIDM protected because investment products are not PIDM protected. So we don't think this is a really negative point because, again, the likelihoods of banks going under is very, very slim. And at the end of the day, the underlying products is still a pool of FDs with AmBank and RHB and Maybank and those very, very credit-worthy banks. So will you lose your principal? That is very, very, very unlikely. But is it guaranteed and is it protected by PIDM? No.
Now, Ken, if I'm looking at a pool of FDs here in this money market fund, which StashAway uses, then I guess my question here is why not just stick with the fixed deposits that I'm currently using anyway, where the rates won't lag the prevailing rate in the market and is directly protected by PIDM?
Yeah, so I think the first thing here is that the rate that is projected by StashAway Simple is actually higher. And the second thing is that your money doesn't get locked up, right? So you feel like you need to take your money out at any point in time. You know, emergency funds are required for that very purpose, right? Something happens to your car, your pipe bocho, you know, you need that money straight away, right? So you can't unlock it if it was an FD without foregoing that interest. And then thirdly, you know, there's sometimes some very annoying terms and conditions that you need to do to qualify for some higher rates in the market. And we don't think that emergency funds or spare cash should be something that people hunt for promos all the time. And it's very hard now in the MCO period and all that. Bank branch promos is very hard to do. So we think somewhere where you can basically put your money and have it earn a decent, modest return is probably simpler. And you don't have to deal with the lockups, don't have to deal with the terms and conditions as well.
Now, the flexibility is a great point there, but I'm thinking if this is based on a pool of FDs, Ken, over time, won't the return be almost relatively similar to a fixed deposit? Let's say interest rates don't change over time.
Yeah, it really won't run so far. So if the rates are really similar, then the ability to take out your funds anytime is a huge plus.
In what situation will the projected rate not be higher than the prevailing rates in the fixed deposit arena?
Right. So if let's say we enter into a growth stage again and Bank Negara raises raises OPR, then there will be some sort of lag effect to catch up to the prevailing rate, right? Because the previous FDs that were invested by the money market fund were in the lower rates. So there will be some sort of lag effect there too.
Right. So in a rising interest rate environment, there is a likelihood that the projected rate will be below the prevailing rate that is on the market at that point.
Yeah, correct. But it won't be so far off as well.
Okay. Ken, I think the big question here is what's this going to cost your existing client base?
Okay. So firstly, the rate of 2.4, which is projected, is after fees. Yeah. So this is net of fees, meaning what you see in your return is what you get, right? So we are working with a fund manager, Eastspring. So they charge 0.25% on the fund. But we get some rebates from them as a corporate client. So we pass that back up to customers and they can enjoy that slightly higher return. StashAway doesn't charge any fees on this, but customers in totality, as a whole, still do pay a 0.16% per annum fee. But again, that 2.4% rate is already after fees.
Right. I think, Ken, I'm just trying to understand where that slight higher rate comes from when it comes to the StashAway Simple. Because if it's based on an underlying pool of fixed deposits, whether the rates are higher or lower or maturing at different rates, how are you able to give a better rate than the prevailing FD?
So because of older FDs that have been invested by the money market fund in the past, you know, before the cuts began, you can actually enjoy the higher returns. So that is where the higher returns come from versus the current FD rates.
All right. So on a slightly different note here, Ken, as we mentioned earlier, there's a certain level of safety that we feel with fixed deposits. And as you also mentioned, the banks have been around for decades and are well capitalized. So there's a certain level of security that they're going to be around for a lot longer. On the flip side, StashAway is relatively new. You've been around for 3 years at this point. What happens to our money if anything should happen to StashAway?
Right. So that's a great question, because you should be careful with whoever you invest your money with. And like you say, we are a fresh player. We are here in the market for 2 years, and we've been around in Singapore since 3 years ago. And while we are a new player, it doesn't mean we are unlicensed, right? You know, we are licensed by the Securities Commission. And because of that, we operate at a very high compliance threshold. So things like also having a trustee in place is very important. So when you transfer money across to us, it goes into a trustee account and a ledger that has your name, right? So at the end of the day, whatever happens to us, you're not taking any, and the technical word here is a counterparty risk, right? So in the event that, as unlikely as that is, we go down, we still have the record of all your investments, whether that's StashAway Simple or ETF Global Portfolios, you're still able to get that money back because we are regulated in Malaysia, and we have a trustees in place. So everything is kept separate to our normal business operations.
Right. So the money there is not in your, it's not part of your own balance sheet in a way. So the way you operate is from the fees that we pay, whereas the money that we've invested in those different funds are kept with the trustee, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, looking at StashAway overall, you guys did a re-optimization a few months back. What triggered that re-optimization?
Okay, so that's a great question, because this happened very recent, happened in March. And just so the listeners understand, the word re-optimization here means when we change your asset allocation of the portfolio. So what you're buying into when you're investing with StashAway is not a static pool of ETFs, and that goes on, doesn't matter where you are in the economic cycle. We actually change your asset allocation based on where we are on the economic cycle and what economic data we see. So we have only re-optimized three times in the 3 years we've been around, and we only do so for strategic reasons, right? So mid to long-term decisions, not tactical, as you know, every day, every week we change. So the big theme here around this current re-optimization that happened recently was uncertainty, right? Obviously, in March, we had the COVID situation, we had the oil slump, and we wanted to do three things. The first is to reduce our USD exposure. Second is to have more exposure to China, especially the tech sector. And the third thing is to deal with the uncertainty directly by investing more in gold. So if I can elaborate, the first point here is about reducing USD exposure, right? Because when COVID hit, the Fed reacted in a very aggressive way, as they should. But because of that, there's a lot more USD being printed, you know, trillions of dollars in relative terms even, which can weaken other currencies in the medium term. So we firstly wanted to reduce our USD exposure. Secondly, we wanted to have more Asia exposure because we think that Asia is recovering a lot better than the US after COVID. So we like the Chinese tech play because after the Chinese economy reopened, you know, the tech sector is driving the economy and it has been a major source of growth. And it doesn't really rely on supply chains like traditional factories and things like that. So the third reason here is about gold. A lot of people should have gold in their portfolios. And before this, we already had a very healthy exposure, but we're upping it to 15 to 20% based on the safe haven nature of gold.
Right. And if you want to learn more about gold and stocks, I actually had a conversation with Rajan Devadasan last week on this very show. And we got into the differences between stocks and gold and why they behave in different ways and the correlation between their behaviors right now. But Ken, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Roshan. Talk soon.
Now, remember, with all possible investments and strategies, you have to do your own homework into the asset, keeping your risk profile and financial goals in mind. You've been listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Karnasen for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.